Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private, parent choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is August 26, 2015, and we're going to talk about pornography. My guest is Dr. Thomas Bruner. Good afternoon, Tom. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Lon. I appreciate you having me.
Well, Dr. Thomas Bruner is a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in advanced assessment and treatment of children, adolescents, and adults. He is located in Tucson. Explain what you had in mind with that topic.
Sure, Lon. As I've worked with children, adolescents, and adults over the last 10 to 15 years, it's become increasingly apparent that our society seems to be in
Arizona, but of course worked with people all over the country. So, the topic is, a pornographic world? Question mark. How does, that sort of sounds like pornography is taking over the world to a large extent. Would you like to talk about that a little bit and explain?
Increasingly allowing and facilitating even the what I'd consider to be inappropriate representation of our kind of physical bodies. I think that that's becoming increasingly common. It's highly sexualized, and I recently wrote a blog about that, and I think people could ask, well, what is pornographic? And so I looked up for a good definition we might use as a platform for today, and I found something that seemed pretty reasonable on the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, which stated that we can think of pornographic as something that's printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. So the idea really is, you know, when we talk about what's pornography and what's healthy, and the difference would be pornography is really more about just stimulating the erotic part of somebody without any aesthetic or sort of emotionality being involved or less so, and strictly of a sexual nature without there being a sort of meaningfulness to it relating to a relationship.
I saw an interesting thing here locally. There's a guy that's a pretty well-known photographer, and he thinks that a female body is beautiful, and so that's his specialty on that. And locally, word got out, and some people said, and it is, it's very aesthetic, but some of the locals got in and said, oh, that's just pornography. And it's a confusing line, and some people don't have it. Another thought I had, you might address a little bit, there's a Supreme Court justice in talking about this, says, well, I can't define pornography, but I sure know it when I see it. So it sounds like if your feelings of arousal are coming up, it's pornographic.
Well, again, it's all about context, like you just alluded to. So, of course, it's a complex question in some ways, but basically, as it has less to do with any kind of relationship and less to do with sex being the outcome of a meaningful relationship or sexual images not having to do with any relationship, then it becomes more of a pornographic nature. And I think that, I mean, people will come up with their own subjective definition, but I think that, I'm not an expert on exactly what it is. I'm a child and adult psychologist, but I think that if we step back from sort of trying to nail down the exact definition, which you and I and the Supreme Court justice and others can agree is quite difficult, what we can agree on is that society is making it easier and easier for things that many of us would agree is pornographic to be transferred. For example, in my work with children and adolescents, it's quite easy for one adolescent to text another adolescent either an inappropriate message, verbal message, or an inappropriate photo of themselves, maybe not wearing any clothes. And so with the advent of the iPhone, this can be done instantaneously, whereas 15 years ago, 20 years ago, even if someone had that thought that they would like to do that, well, that would not be easily occurring. And so technology is in many ways making it easier for people to be sexually impulsive and or engage in pornographic kinds of activities.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a comparison. Anybody that's middle-aged or older could say and realize that sexualization or more sexual provocative photos or pictures are more prevalent. You get more of it in the news. You get more of it in on TV. More things are acceptable. Could you talk a little bit about the difference in how society has seemed to change over, the last generation or so?
Sure. It seems like largely driven by marketing companies, I would say, but there are other factors involved. And, you know, I'm not, again, not an expert on the exact group of contributors, but some of the great forces have been marketing companies realizing, well, people are seeing more and more provocative kinds of images on a daily basis. So we as the marketing firm trying to, say, sell lingerie, well, we need to have an even more revealing commercial. Mm-hmm. So you see commercials now that are extremely revealing, and that maybe generations ago would be considered pornographic, quote unquote, to that generation. Or so that would be an example of how things are changing, where people be the body being displayed with you know less and less clothes in a very common manner across Facebook, TV, iPhones. I mean, the transfer of images, things are really kind of moving at the speed of light now. And so for adolescents, it's increasingly confusing for them to understand, well, you know, what's appropriate and not appropriate.
I know one of the things when you think of or you say pornography, you generally think of the very hardcore type of thing, things you might see in Pornhub or places like that on the Internet, all of which are becoming very obvious. It's obvious, there's no question that those are pornography. Some of the other things you've talked about, I guess it could be debatable. The advertising, is that really pornography? Well, it has the influences. But what does it do to a adolescent especially? What does the prevalence and this more pornographic, becoming a more pornographic world, as the title says, what does it do to adolescents?
Well, with adolescents, as I've worked with them and listened to them, both boys and girls, number one, what it does to them is it makes the idea of what the adolescents I work with call a hookup, quote-unquote, much more acceptable. A hookup is generally, you know, would be defined by adolescents or other people who've heard of that term as casual sex with no meaningful relationship attached to it or predating it. It's really purely a physical kind of meetup between, you know, people. And so there are websites that facilitate this hookup kind of phenomena, which is even becoming acceptable among high school students, where they have websites where they can indicate, do they want to hook up or do they want a date, for example. Or there's sites where they can compare the attractiveness of different people, and if they like the way someone looks, they can indicate they would like to make contact with that person. Now, that's a very highly superficial way where they're just looking at pictures and meeting up. And, you know, so the Internet and technology is making the ability for an adolescent to act on, their impulses much easier, where even less thought can be involved. And we can all agree that even before this technology ever occurred, adolescents were worrisome in terms of how impulsive they could be. So that's making parenting exponentially more difficult.
You know, one of the things I'm thinking and trying to get into the head of the kids, I would think that would tend to make guys, adolescent boys, objectify girls as just sexual object, that tendency. And in girls, I suspect it would tend to make them feel cheap, that no relationship is just physical, when girls seem to be more interested and driven by relationships. So it's a cheapening of their existence. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, definitely. I think, but I think at the same time, because adolescents are because it's on the internet, they almost it's almost like the phenomena of we can all know that, say, if you've been in the newspaper, they've read something in the newspaper, it's true. And there's a phenomena that if it's published, it's true. And so, oddly, even though anyone can put anything on the internet, for adolescents, if it's on the internet, it's almost like it gets some more validity. And so, if there's a site that allows someone to, say, hook up with someone, well, there it is. It's already there. So it's something that is common. And so, does it make girls necessarily feel cheap? We'd hope it would. But with you know, some of the adolescent you know, adolescents I've worked with over time, it's very difficult for them because they're thinking, well, this is what's commonly done, and I need to go along with this. And so I think you know, adolescents and having a clear sense of morality in this area, it's getting harder because there's technologies that are justifying and almost credentialing this kind of impulsive activity.
Okay, so in just a few words, what would you advise parents to do regarding their children to try to be on top of this and avoid them from diving to the bottom like some kids seem to be doing?
I think number one is parents have to understand that kids really need to have a sense of social cohesion. They need to feel like they really belong somewhere. And to minimize the chances that they're going to seek out sexual activity as a way to try and truly connect with someone, make sure that you help them find, through your relationship with them and or sports or extracurriculars, that they're deeply engaging and they found their passion and they're expressing their passions through activities, healthy activities, so that they don't feel like they have to try and find a connection with someone who is asking them to be sexual or be inappropriate in that area. And I would say, number two, as the children become adolescents, the family will utilize their value system and decide when they need to have frank discussions with the adolescent about what is on the internet and what kinds of inappropriate things are out there, and talk with the adolescent about why do they think some people might choose to engage in things like the pornography industry. And parents could be under a mythology that if we talk about it, it's more likely their kid will do it. Just like there's a mythology that if I talk with my kid about suicide, it's going to make them more likely to do it. There's no research behind that. It is a huge mythology. Being quiet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. In fact, it can make it more likely. And so you need to talk with your adolescent about sort of the psychology of how that could be enthralling or exciting for certain kinds of people, so that if they came upon that material, and they will, because you can never be over their shoulder 24/7, you need to have prepared them. You need to have given them a perspective to understand and deal with that appropriately.
So, like so many other things, develop a good relationship with your child, nurture it, and develop a trust, right?
Absolutely. And also have obviously very clear criteria for and monitoring of their social media. And it's far beyond texting now. It's Snapchat, it's Twitter. There's something new every day, and adolescents get tired of the old, and they're beyond Facebook by now, and they're into new things. So you need to have very close monitoring and usernames and passwords for those things. At least that would be my opinion as I've worked with parents. And not that you're overly invasive, but you're at least randomly checking so that they're earning your trust.
All right. Well, I know we've just barely scratched the surface, but we've run out of time. So, could you take about a half a minute, or a minute, and describe what you do and how somebody, if they want to talk to you or learn more about this, how could they could get a hold of you?
Sure, Lon. I'm a clinical forensic and consulting psychologist here in Tucson, Arizona. I have my own private practice. My focus is to really help people reach their potential as I work in the healthcare realm, and I also do forensic work for with attorneys and for court systems. My focus is to conduct really precise assessment to help parents and kids get their hands around their issues and or precise identification of problems in the legal arena where I'm an expert witness. And people can reach me through my website at drbrunner.com, where doctor spelled out, and then BRUNNER.com, or call my assistant Denise at 520-314-4772.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking to Dr. Thomas Brunner, a forensic psychologist, licensed clinical psychologist, about a pornographic world. Thank you very much. This has been delightful.
Thanks, Lon. I appreciate you having me.